We're going to continue this morning in our series, Relentless. And the idea is to encourage and strengthen you as the people of God to build a faith that endures, to build a faith that's lasting, to build a faith that allows you to overcome the obstacles, the pitfalls, the challenges, the trials, the tribulations of life. And the Lord put 5 D's on my heart that I was to just go into God's word and bring messages that would strengthen you as the people of God to overcome. And those 5 D's were discouragement, disappointment, doubt, delay, and defeat. And bear with me if you've been a part of this the previous 2 weeks. It's for those that maybe are just joining us today for the first time and jumping in this series. But I'm going to do this exercise again. It's been impactful to me. And so I just want to ask you this, and if you will, just raise your hand and keep it raised, okay? If you, in your faith journey, at some point in serving God and pursuing to live for God, to live for Jesus, and to fulfill the purposes of God for your life, if at some point in your faith journey you've experienced disappointment, I want you to just lift your hand and keep it up. If you've experienced discouragement, come on, lift your hand and keep it up. If you've experienced a season of doubt, God, are you really there? Are you really moving? Come on, just lift your hand and keep it up. If you've experienced delay, you thought God was going to do something, you thought it was going to happen, and then there was delay, lift your hand and keep it up. If you've ever experienced a defeat, you just knew it was going to work and it didn't. And you just knew it was God, but it just didn't happen, just lift your hand. Now, I just keep your hand up and just look around the room. Just look around the room. Now, come on, really, just look around the room. Look to your left, your right, look ahead of you, look behind you. It's almost every hand in the room. And I just want to encourage you, you're not alone. And I also want to encourage you that God's plan and God's purpose for your life cannot be defeated by a season of disappointment, discouragement, doubt, delay, or even what the world might label as a defeat. Amen? And your faith, our faith does not bow to the circumstances of our lives. In fact, it's the very reason that Jesus came. It's the very reason that we have faith, that we might have faith to endure those things and to stand fast and to stand strong and to keep moving forward in spite of those things. Come on, somebody say amen. So I want to strengthen you. Come on, as the people of God, we're called to be a persevering people. And God's word shows us how important it is. In Romans 2, verse 7, it says, "To those by whom persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life." And the New Living Translation says it this way, that same verse, Romans 2, 7. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, keep on keeping on. Hebrews 10, 36 says, you need to persevere. You need to persevere. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Listen, it wouldn't be written if it wasn't going to be necessary. And God knew there would be some seasons that you would endure these things and other things, and that you would need to be prepared in advance to endure and persevere so that you could get through those seasons and get to the promise of God for your life, for your marriage, for your family, for the children that you're raising, trying to raise, for the dream that God's put in your heart, for the thing that he's called you to do, for the ministry that's in your heart to see happen. For the city that you're believing and praying to be transformed and come to know Jesus, for all the things that God's put in your heart, he's saying there's going to be a time, there's going to be a need, there's going to be a cause, there's going to be a reason that you as a man of God, as a woman of God, as a husband, as a father, as a wife, as a mother, you're going to need to persevere. You're going to need to prepare to endure. And listen, I've encouraged you, it's not about striving for our salvation. That's a free gift from God. But it is about setting our hearts in a determined fashion on the promises of God, on the word of God, on a passionate pursuit of the presence of God. And it's about moving forward, relentlessly pursuing those things, chasing after the heart of God, chasing after the will of God, living out the purposes of God and the plans of God for your life in a way that makes a difference. And in a way that when it's all said and done, you can stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and he might say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. There were obstacles in your life. You had reasons to give up and you didn't quit. You kept your eyes on me. Well done, good and faithful servant." Listen, to do this, you're going to have to build a faith that endures. You'll have to overcome those seasons of disappointment, discouragement, doubt, delay, and even defeat. You'll have to be willing to bounce back from some things. You'll have to be willing to run your race and jump over and clear some hurdles that the enemy puts before you. And so we've been looking at biblical examples. That was the mandate I had from God. I just had an assignment from him, and I didn't know what I would preach, but I began just praying and asking him, and he began reminding me of passages and people from God's word where people had to faithfully endure, people had to persevere through those things and other things to get to the promises of God. And in week one, we studied Mark chapter 2, where four friends carried their friend who was disabled. And who knows how far and how long they had carried him and how long they had sweated and toiled to get him into the presence of God. And remember what we discovered when they got to the place where they had heard that Jesus was. It says that they couldn't get near Jesus because of the crowd. The place was so covered up. And I just encourage us that how many of us might have gotten there and said, well, we gave it our best shot. But these men were relentlessly determined to get their friend in the presence of God because they had tried it the other ways. They had tried it their own ways. And they knew that the only thing, the only hope was to get their friend into the presence of God. And so I encouraged you to imagine it in your mind's eye. These four men tired after toiling and lifting and carrying and hauling their friend who knows how far and who knows how long, only to get there and to receive the news that they couldn't get to Jesus. And they pressed through the crowd. And not only did they press through the crowd, but you'll remember what they did. They climbed up. They couldn't get through the door, it says. And so they climbed up onto the rooftop of this house, and they began to tear the tiles off of this roof to get to the presence of Jesus. And I challenge you that sometimes in life, you're going to go to some things. You're going to walk some things out. You're going to have a promise. You're going to have something that you're trying to get to. And when you get there, there's going to be obstacles in your way. But I encourage you that sometimes God is calling you. When you can't get in, sometimes God is calling you to go up. And not to take no for an answer sometimes and be willing to say, come on, if the way that I thought it was going to happen isn't the way that it's going to happen, I'm going to look up. And come on, there's just something to being willing to break through lids and ceilings to get to God's promises for your life. And so I encourage you to not take no for an answer in every situation and to press in. And when you find a closed door, be willing to look up. Be willing to go higher. Be willing to get your hands dirty. Be willing to do whatever it takes to pull away the things that have previously kept you from encountering and experiencing the breakthrough that God has for you and to get into the presence of God. In week two, we talked about the king in 2 Kings chapter 13. Last week, we talked about Jehoash, the king of Israel, who went to the prophet Elisha, who was on his deathbed, and he sought the word of God, and he did what Elisha said to do. When Elisha said to pick up the bow and arrow and to open the east window and to shoot the arrow out of the window. And then Elisha told the king, he said, take the arrows in your hands and strike them against the ground. And the king did what the prophet said, and the word of God says in 2 Kings 13 that he took the arrows in his hand and he struck them against the ground 1, 2, 3 times. And the Bible says that the man of God became angry with the king. And we talked about how he did what the prophet said, but there was something in his heart that caused the prophet to see. And the prophet told him point blank, he said, you're going to get some level of victory, but you won't get the level that God had in store for you. And it wasn't because there was a magic number of how many times to hit the arrows. There was something that the prophet saw in the man's heart. There was a spiritual lethargy. There was this going through the motions. There was this idea of just going to church. There was this idea of just going through the religious motions. And I challenge you that sometimes we're going to have to persevere. We're going to have the kind of faith that takes whatever God's called you to put in your hand. And we just keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it until we see the victory that God has in store for us. I challenge you, every area of your life, get a word from God. What's God's word say about your marriage? What's God's word say about your health? What's God's word say about your finances? Not just what it says, but then to begin to do it. Take a hold of it. Take a hold of what God's word says. And then just begin to do it and do it and do it and do it without fading, without wavering, without relenting. And if we do that according to God's word, without growing weary in due season, we'll reap a harvest. Amen? Come on, whatever God's put in your hand, even if it seems insignificant, get a word from God and keep doing what God has told you to do with it. And I challenged you last week. If there's a moment where you realize that you laid something down or you quit doing with what God had put in your hand, what God told you to do, to go back to that place and ask the Lord for his grace to begin to pick it up and begin doing it again. Are you in Joshua chapter 6 this morning? there's a third passage that I want to go to. And before we do, can we pray and just invite the Holy Spirit here this morning to just open up our hearts, soften our hearts, open up our minds, help us to receive this morning, whatever it is, Lord, that you want to speak, whatever it is, Lord, that you need to do in our lives. And Lord, we do. We say we're gathered in this place as the people of God. We're people of faith. We live by faith and not by sight. And regardless of what we see today in any situation in our life, we trust you and we look to you, God, and we defer to what you have to say, God. And so, Lord, any one of us here today, anyone that's weak, that's weary, that's wounded, that's shrinking back or holding back, anyone that's gotten off track or gotten off course, Lord, thank you that your heart today is to come and to strengthen, God. Your heart today is to come and restore. Your heart today is to come and to allow us, by your grace, to get back on track, God, to live out and discover the purposes and the plans of God for our life in every area. Now, Lord, we just say this morning before we get into your word, Lord, that we want to know you more. Everything that you've called us to do, Lord, we want to run the race with endurance. The things that have previously tripped us up, the sin that's weighed us down, we want to throw it to the side today. And surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, we want to be strengthened and equipped today in your presence, today by your word, to begin to stand and not just to stand, but to begin to move forward, God. Just thank you, Lord, that's your heart. I'm just telling you, people of God, that's his heart today. It's more than just a prayer this morning. It's the heart of God. He wants to come and he wants to heal. He wants to come and he wants to restore. He wants to come and he wants to strengthen you. He wants to come and he wants to get you on track to everything that he's created you for and everything that he's called you to. Everything that he has in his heart for you. Come on, the word of God says that he has good thoughts towards you. Not plans for evil, but plans for good, a hope and a future. Come on, it's true for you today. And we thank you for it today, Lord. And we say we're here with ears to hear. We're here with open hearts. We're here with our spirits activated to receive from you, God, so that we might become everything that you've called us to be. In Jesus' mighty name. And come on, all God's precious people said, amen, 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 amen. Joshua chapter 6, and bear with me, we're going to read this story, and then we're going to back up, and we're going to unpack some of it, and I want to encourage you from some things that we can see in this passage. And Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, come on, if you're there, say I'm there. Read with us above on the screen here, if you don't have it in front of you, and it says, now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut, because the people were afraid of the Israelites, and no one was allowed to go out or go in. And can I stop right there before we move on and just point something out to you? Why were the gates shut? Because of the people of God. The people of Jericho were afraid of the people of God. And let me just encourage you with some things. Some of the obstacles, some of the resistance, some of the interference that you're experiencing and the things that God's called you to are because the enemy is afraid of who you'll become and what you'll accomplish when you get to the other side. And you need to be encouraged with that this morning. You need to be encouraged with that this morning. You need to be encouraged with that this morning. Come on, not every place where you have an obstacle is necessarily the devil resisting you. You know, like, I don't know that he's in the business of causing you to have a flat tire on the way to church or causing you to run out of gas. Come on, you might should have just put gas in your car on Saturday. But I'm telling you, everywhere where there's really something powerful, where there's potential, where there's a promise, where there's a future, you can expect for the enemy to oppose it and resist it. And that's the whole point of this series, is learning how to persevere through those things to get to the other side. And it says, no one was allowed to go out or go in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. Listen, before you even begin to get into it, God's already speaking over it. God's already speaking over it. You got to start hearing. It might look a certain way. Come on, that's exactly what it's saying right here. It looked one way, but God was already speaking a different thing. And we serve the God that calls the things that aren't as though they are because he's a God of faith. And he's beyond he's beyond time. He's beyond circumstances. He sees something that he's taking you to. And you got to start to hear. It's like what Pastor Eddie was saying this morning when he was closing worship. We walk by faith and we begin to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And it gives us faith to endure what we currently see with our own physical eyes. He said, I've given it to you. It's locked up, it's shut down, it seems impenetrable, but he says, I've given it to you, it's yours. You and your fighting men should march around the town. He begins to give the instructions for how to live out the promise and experience the promise. You should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town seven times with the priest blowing the horns. And when you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua has received the instructions from the Lord, and now he's going to disseminate it to the people of God. And he calls the priest together, it says in verse 6. And he says, take up the ark of the Lord's covenant, which represented the presence of God, and assign seven priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. Now, now I want to draw something out right there. Do you see anywhere where Josh tells them, begins to communicate the number of days or the number of times that they have to walk around it? No, Joshua received the specific instructions, but when he's talking to the people of God, it's not recorded that he shares with them the number of times or the number of days that they are to walk around it. And he says, march around the town, then the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. And after Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests with the ram's horn started marching in the presence of the Lord. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, start marching. Look at your other neighbor who was your second choice and say the same thing. Start marching. Come on, get after it. Start marching. The people of God received the word of God, and they began to do what God's word was instructing them to do, blowing the horns as they marched. And the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. And some of the armed men marched in front of the priest with the horns, and some behind the ark with the priest continually blowing the horns. And Joshua said, do not shout, do not even talk, not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. And then, come on, you shout like you've never shouted before. And so the ark of the Lord was carried around the town that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest again carried the ark of the Lord, and the seven priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. And again, the armed men marched both in front of the priest with the horns and behind the ark of the Lord. And all this time, come on, say all this time, the priests were blowing their horns. And on the second day, they again marched around the town once and returned to the camp. And they followed this pattern for 6 days. And on the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and they marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around the town seven times. And the seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. And the rest of the story is the walls came tumbling down and the people of God entered in. And they captured the thing that God had promised them and laid before them. And I want to talk to you this morning about having seven-day faith. I want to talk to you this morning about making it through to the breakthrough. I want to talk to you this morning about overcoming the challenges of when God calls you to do something and you don't see the results. And sometimes I just don't understand. Like, I don't understand. God, you're so powerful. You're so amazing. Why couldn't they just shout down the walls on day one? Why did it take this endurance? Why did it take this pattern? Why did it take this process? And listen, I don't always understand it, but there's one thing that I do see as I read God's word and as I live this life of faith. And it's that God almost always prescribes a process to inherit his promises. And come on, you see it all throughout the word, time and time again, over and over and over again. God speaks a word. God gives a dream. God establishes a promise. God anoints a king. And then he starts a process. Moses, Joseph, David, Abraham, and his wife Sarah, Hannah. There's a promise. There's a dream. There's a calling. There's a purpose. There's even an anointing. And then there is a process. Listen, I don't understand it all, but I'm learning, and what I'm encouraging you with this morning is that sometimes, and not just enduring the process rather, but embracing the promise, we begin to see what God's up to. And many times, let me just encourage you with something. God's more concerned with the process than he is with the promise. Because how many know if you skirt through the process and you get to the promise, you might not be able to hang on to it. Sometimes if you skirt through the process and you get to the place where there's the provision, you might not know how to steward it. God's more concerned with your character than he is your calling. Because you can get into the calling, and if you don't have the character to sustain it, come on, there's a blessing. The Bible says that the blessing of God causes one to become wealthy, and it adds no sorrow to your life. But the Bible also says that you can gain the whole world and lose your soul, lose your marriage, lose your health, lose your family, lose your friends. God's more concerned about the process because he's building a foundation in your life. Come on, before God builds high, he always digs deep because he cares about the lasting. He's a God of generations. He wants to do something that is not only for you, but he's writing a story that's way beyond you. And sometimes all we see is what's right up close. But there's a process. God's almost always, come on, to the new life of God, to the next of God, there's almost always a gestation period. And we're preaching about endurance and persevering, but I want to use a different word this morning and encourage you to embrace the process. Embrace the process. To begin to see, come on, God's doing something in my life. And God sees what he's leading me to, and God knows what he's taking me to. But God, when I get there, God wants me to be ready to be able to enjoy it and live it out. And God wants me to be able to steward it well. God's more concerned with your character than he is with your calling. And generally, I've learned this too. God is not in a hurry. Generally, God is not in a hurry. And with him, the Bible says a day is like 1,000 years. And for us, we get impatient. But I've learned that God is oftentimes, he's not in a hurry. And if we can just not only endure that, but begin to embrace it and just say, God, I've got my own kind of arbitrary time frames built on my own expectations and what the culture says about when I should be married, what the culture says about when I should own my own business and not be working for someone, when the culture says about this. But I see that you see differently than me, and you see the end from the beginning, and I'm just seeing in part. And I know if I can begin to trust you and your process and your timeline, it's gonna set me up to walk into it in just the right time and not a moment before. Come on, there's a gestation period to the things that God has for you. And if you get out ahead of that, sometimes it creates complications. He's oftentimes not in a hurry. He's laying a foundation for your future. And let me encourage you with something else. He's more concerned about you growing closer to him than getting to the things that he has for you. He's more concerned, let me say it again. He's more concerned about you growing in your relationship with your Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you're walking through, all the things, come on, he's not just trying to get you somewhere. He wants to go with you. And sometimes when the brakes are on, it's just because he's just saying, hey, why don't you come back here and just walk with me? I appreciate that. I see you running out. Why don't you come back here and just walk with me? Come on. I heard a youth pastor say a long time ago, and it stuck with me. He was preaching in a conference to youth pastors, and youth pastors, all pastors probably fall kind of into this trap. But he said, people always ask me, how many kids are you running in your youth group? And he said, I always reply to him, and I say, well, I don't know about how many we're running, but I'm walking with about 50 of them. And come on, I know we're talking about running the race with endurance, but a lot of times what that looks like is just walking one step at a time and walking with God. Come on, he wants you to grow closer to him. He's concerned about a relationship with you. He's got some things he wants to get you to, but the number one thing that is in his heart is he wants to know you and for you to know him. Come on, when you begin to embrace that, and you begin to just own that, you begin to say, God, everything that you're doing in my life, it's all just a season. Everything that you put in my hand, it all will pass away. I mean, everything except for that one thing will pass away, and it's the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's more concerned about a relationship with you than where he's getting you to. He's laying a foundation for your future. And so listen, I want to give you some encouragement about how to make it through some of those times where you're marching but nothing's moving. Come on, how many of you ever felt like you're walking it out, you're living it out, and it just ain't working? You're marching but nothing's moving. You're walking but nothing's working. And listen, we tend to like, in church life, we like to talk a lot about the breakthroughs. Come on, you could talk about breakthrough, and we should testify, we should share. We like to talk about breakthrough. You could talk about breakthrough, and the whole church will shout unto God. But I'm just telling you that God's interested. God's not just interested in the breakthrough. He's interested in the process. And he's with you. He's not just with you in the breakthrough. He's with you in the journey. He's with you in the process. He's with you when you're marching and nothing's moving. He's with you when you're walking and it seems like nothing's working. And so listen, how many of you experienced times where it just seems like God doesn't see you? Where God doesn't hear you, where he seems indifferent to the cries of your heart. And can I just encourage you with something? Read the Psalms. Read the Bible. How many times the people of God cried out and said, how long, oh God? When will you show up? How long will I go through? How long will my enemies take me? And I'm just telling you, God is in those moments in the same way that he's in the moments of victory. And you need to be encouraged when you're in that season where you're in the middle. When you're in that season where you've taken the first lap around that city, you've taken the second lap around that city, you've taken that third lap around that city, God is with you and he's for you in that moment, just the same as he will be on day 7 when the walls begin to fall. And listen, sometimes I, as a pastor, when I meet with people and they're going through some things and there's some things I challenge them with, you know, like sometimes you got to go back and you got to begin doing some things, spending time with the Lord, spending time in his word, having times of prayer, doing some things right. Sometimes we need to go back and we need to ask for forgiveness or extend forgiveness. Sometimes there are some things that we can do, but sometimes we're doing everything just right. Sometimes we're doing it, we're really walking it out, and you just need to stay faithful and you just need to stay obedient. Sometimes, listen, sometimes when I'm meeting with people, I don't have the prescription to help them fix it. I just have to encourage them to stay faithful. And as a people of God, come on, that's what Job's friends tried to do. They just wanted to fix it all right then and there, you know. And we need to just set ourselves free from feeling like we have to have the solution for everyone's situation. Maybe we just step back and just say, you know what? God's taken that young man through a process. God's taking that husband through a process. God's refining that person's heart. God's doing something in their life. God sees beyond. I see right now, and I want to come in, and I want to fix it. But God's really trying to get them somewhere. And if I come in and I interrupt what God's doing in their life, I might help them to get there, but they won't have the character. They won't have developed the things that God needs to put in the foundation of their life so that when they get there, they can live it out and enjoy it and experience it and steward it well. Amen? We don't have to always have the answer. We don't have to feel like we have to fix it all. Sometimes we just need to encourage people to be faithful, and we just need to walk around alongside them and just pray for them. Come on, we need to give ourselves permission to not understand but still believe. Come on, I want to say that again. You need to give yourself permission to not always have to understand but be able to still believe. And there's going to be some seasons that you go through in your life and you're not going to be able to have the answer. You're not going to be able to understand. But I'm just telling you that it doesn't mean that you can't still believe. And we are the people of God and we serve a good God. But the Bible says that we live by faith and not by sight. You need to just set yourself free from the need to understand everything. I don't have to understand it to believe that there's a God who is good, who is leading me through this thing. I don't have to have the answer. I don't have to be able to connect the dots today. If I just keep doing what's important, and that's focusing on my relationship with God, at some point as I just walk it out with God and I don't grow weary of doing good in a due season, I'll get to the harvest. I'll get to the promise. Come on, just sometimes we just have to be obedient. And that's a good question. Can we be obedient? Which is another word for faithful when it's not exciting. Can we be faithful when it's just walking? Can you be faithful to just come? Come on, maybe you're called to preach. Maybe you're called to write to be the next Darlene Check. Maybe you're called to do some big things for God. But right now, the season that God's got you, and it's not exciting, it's holding the door open in the church. Can you serve? Can you be obedient? Can we be faithful when it's not exciting? Come on, can we be faithful when it just seems like we're just walking? We're just on a walk. We're just on a walk. We're just on a walk. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I'm just on a walk. I'm just on a walk. Look at your other neighbor. Say, keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Come on, look back at the other neighbor and say, but I want to shout. But I want to shout. But I want to shout. Come on, it's not the day to shout. It's just the day to walk. It's just the day to walk. Listen, God will have his say one day, but in the meantime, just keep marching. And you know the other thing to keep doing? Keep worshiping. Joshua said, don't say a word. He said, until I tell you, and then you shout. But for now, you just walk. But you know what was going on the whole time? Those priests were blowing those horns, baby. And they were worshiping God, and there was a sound of praise. Come on, and while you're just walking, keep worshiping. While you're just walking, keep worshiping. While you're just walking, come on, you don't have to just be alone with your thoughts. You can be alone with the sound of worship unto a God. You can remind yourself of his faithfulness. Come on, great is your faithfulness. Your mercy endures forever. You are good, and your love endures. Come on, whatever it is that the Lord begins to stir in your heart, you just allow, come on, faith comes by hearing. Sometimes what you need to be hearing is yourself worshiping. I'm not just on a walk. I'm on a walk with God because the presence of God is with me as I worship him. Can we be faithful? Can we be obedient when it's not exciting? Listen, can we be faithful? Can we be obedient when God doesn't give us the timeline? He told Joshua the timeline, but like I pointed out, it appears that Joshua didn't tell the people how long it was going to take. Come on. How many of you know you could be faithful? You can endure some doubt. You can endure some delay if God gave you the date and time when it was going to come to pass. How many know if God told you, on this day you will meet her and you will become married? You could get to it then if you knew the date, if you knew the time. How many know you could get through it if God said, on this day you will conceive a child and on this day you will deliver a child? How many know you could get through it if they said, on this day your child will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Lord and Savior? If God gave you the time frame, it would be easier to get to it, but God doesn't often work that way. And the people of God didn't know how many times they were going to have to walk around it. It's one thing if you get a date and a time. It's one thing if God would do like they do in the car races where they wave that, what is it, the white flag? The white flag that they wave at those car races that says this is the last lap. And God doesn't work that way. It'll be one thing if you say, come on, oh, I just one more day. I can get up one more day. God just showed me tomorrow's the breakthrough. I can do this for one more day. Oftentimes, God doesn't work that way. And I remember, I'm going to encourage you this morning with something. Many of you are closer to the breakthrough than you know that you are. Come on, you need to hear that this morning. Many of you are closer to the breakthrough than you even know that you are. And a couple weeks ago or several weeks ago, my wife and I were having a little date day together, and we've driven by it several times, but we had never taken the time to go out south of town and go up on that hill to that place called Wells Overlook. I'm pointing south now. I was directionally challenged there for a minute. I was pointing towards Topeka. To go south of town. You guys know what I'm talking about, Wells Overlook. It's out there off of 59, off of 1000 Road. You know, you can go out there and you can drive up the hill, and there's a big thing that they've put up on that big hill, and they've made it a county park, and you can go up and you can look over the city of Lawrence from there. If you haven't done it, you ought to go do it. And so we just said, hey, let's go up there and let's check it out. We went up there and checked it out, and it was pretty cool. You know, it was a beautiful day, and you could see all around, you know, and there were things that you could see from up there that you couldn't see from down there. And it was just enjoyable. We had a good time. I planted a big smooch on my wife up there, you know. I mean, it was a good day, you know. And as we were about to turn to go and walk back down the hill and get in our car and go about our day, the Lord just prompted me, just turn around and go back one more time and just pray over our city. And as I did, he just unpacked something to me. I saw something and he spoke something to me. And I noticed that from up where I was, from this vantage point, things that as I drive around Lawrence seem like they're really far apart, from that perspective, it looked like they were really close. Can you imagine it? I'm up there on this hill, and I'm seeing University of Kansas, and there's things that look like when I'm down here driving around the streets, when I'm on the ground, it seems like it takes 15 minutes to get there, and it seems like it's forever away, but from that perspective, it looks like it was practically right next to each other, and the Lord just began to speak to me and began to say, just there's some things that you think you're far away from that you're closer to than you would ever imagine. If you would only come up to my perspective and see it from where I see, because I see it differently. And I'm here today to encourage you. There's some things, there's some dreams, there's some hopes, there's some desires. And you're closer to it than you realize if you just won't give up. Come on, get up one more day and just keep walking. Get up one more day and just keep worshiping. Get up one more time and just keep doing whatever it is God's called you to do with that thing that he's put in your hand. Amen? Man, I want to ask our worship team to come forward and prepare us to dismiss as we give an opportunity to respond to the word of the Lord. And as they come forward, I just want you to just, right where you are this morning, just begin to just prepare. Just say, what is it, Lord, in my life that I'm believing you for? What is it, God, in my life that I'm trusting you for? What is it, God, in my life that I'm praying about? That today seems like it's a far-off dream. Today seems like maybe I missed it. Maybe it's too late. Maybe it's not going to come to pass. Maybe I didn't hear you. And today you want to present that thing before the Lord and just receive a fresh encouragement from God's Spirit to once again just get up and begin to do what God's called you to do, to get up and to take a walk with God, to get up and to continue walking and worshiping with God, to get up and once again take that march, take that walk, trusting that you might just be one day away from the walls coming down, from you being able to rush in to the promises of God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, I just want to ask all the people of God to just stand up. I've got faith for all of you to respond in some way, shape, or form this morning. And Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." And listen, I next week, at least my plan right now, the way I'm seeing it this morning, is next week, Amity and I are going to share a testimony of a painful season in our life where we had a promise and it didn't look like it was going to come to pass, but we just did our best to just try to stay faithful. And come on, it's a real story, and that's where I'm going with this morning, is that when you're in the middle, when you're in that season, the pain feels real. When you're in you're in that season, the doubt feels real. When you're in that moment, when there's delay, it's that idea that it might never come to pass for you feels real. And I'm not diminishing the reality of what you're walking through. I'm just telling you, you serve a God who is greater. You serve a God who is greater. And so if that's you this morning, before we worship in this song and we close and Pastor Eddie comes and opens up the altar for you to come forward and receive ministry, if that's you, I just think sometimes it's important for us to respond in faith, to receive what God wants to deliver to us. And if that's you today, there's something in your life where you're today currently experiencing discouragement, disappointment, doubt, delay, or you even feel defeated in that area. And today you just need a fresh touch from God to bring that hope back alive in you, to begin to once again get back after it and to trust God for his timing, for his plan, for his way that's better maybe than what you could ever have asked, thought, or imagined, or what you could have drawn up in your own mind. If that's you this morning, come on, just lift your hand. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. Just show God. It's between you and the Lord. Say, "Lord, that's me." And you know what it is, and he knows what it is, but this is just an act of faith. Come on, you remember it in the New Testament, multiple times where people reached out. That woman who had that issue, come on, it said for 12 years she had that issue, and she reached out. That's what we're doing today. We're just reaching out. We're saying, "God, you see." And Lord, I thank you for these precious people who are lifting their hands high towards you, God. And what it represents, God, them acknowledging, Lord, that they are trusting you in a fresh or a new way. Thank you, God, for coming and just ministering and healing, Lord, any of the hurt or the pain or the wounds that maybe have become a part of this situation, Lord. Thank you today, Lord, for coming and touching them in the mighty name of Jesus and bringing fresh faith, fresh hope. Now, before we worship, the most important thing that we do anytime we gather together as the people of God is give you an opportunity to dedicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're far from God, maybe you once served the Lord, but you've strayed, you're a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never made that commitment. You've never received the free gift of salvation that is Jesus Christ and the relationship that it allows you to begin with your Heavenly Father and the sin and the shame and the guilt that it allows to be washed away, to do what the Bible calls be born again. Come on, it's a fresh start at life. If that's you this morning, whether you're rededicating or you've never made that commitment this morning, we want to pray for you. And all I'm going to ask you to do is just lift your hand towards God. Lift your hand towards God. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Come on, lift your hand towards God. Lift your hand towards God. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray together. At Rev City, we're a family, and so we oftentimes pray this together. And so come on, Rev City family, for those people that lifted their hands today to either rededicate or receive salvation through Jesus, would you pray this with me and with them, with all of our heart this morning? Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior, and I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I couldn't pay and to make a way that I might have a fresh start and a new life. I give you that life. I place my trust and my hope in you. And I'll never be the same. Come on, I'll never be the same. Come on, church family, say it. I'll never be the same. Come on, put your hands together for those who made that commitment this morning. And Come on, team, lead us. Lead us, and Pastor Eddie will come and open the altar and dismiss us.